Daughter Arise, Girl Talk with Sister and Sarah.
I sing yellow and gold as a new day dawn, like a virgin unveiled who waited so long to dance and rejoice and to sing her song and to rest in the arms of a love so strong.
Welcome to Daughter Arise, Girl Talk with Sister and Sarah, where we explore together the gift of our identity as daughters of the Father and how we can authentically live the feminine genius in today's world. I'm Sister Tracy.
And I'm Sarah Denny.
It's so great to gather once again and to just to talk about what it means to be a woman.
Yes.
And what it means to do that sort of in the day-to-day. And, you know, sometimes it's really great to hear how people have come to where they are by just listening to their story. Because a lot of times when we hear somebody else speak about what they've been through, we can kind of find ourselves in that and be inspired. And
yeah.
Really. So today we're so, so happy to have a very special guest, Christine Baglow. Welcome, Christine.
Thank you. I'm happy to be with you.
Thank you so much for being here with us and for being open to just, you know, sharing who you are and where you come from, you know, whatever you feel would be necessary so that people could kind of know a little bit about you and what brought, you know, brings you to this point in your life today. Sarah, I know both of us know you from from all different types of things. I don't know, Sarah, if you have any particular.
So, Christine, you're like this woman that I've always been like, oh my gosh, she's so cool. But also because I like heard about you before I met you. So from two different perspectives. So one, my first trip to Medjugorje, Mimi Kelly was the wonderful woman who took about 20 teenagers across the globe. And she was so generous. And I think for her, it was a good trip as well. Just a kind of a different audience. But she would tell us about how her daughter and her daughter's friends at a certain point in her life, when she was around our age, had started praying together. And we were all like, oh my gosh, like we left Medjugorje. We were like, okay, wait, can we keep doing this?
We
like
need
this
to do
thing
this.
That's happening
wow.
at home.
Mm-hmm.
And so her story kind of gave me a lot of hope from there. And then also when I was considering transferring to study theology my freshman year of college, Dr. Chris Baglow, who sometimes I consider the best salesman in the world.
Who is your husband,
who
right,
is
Christine?
Her husband.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he is a good salesman,
I have to say. He was so good.
Yeah.
But truly because he just loves the light that our faith is. And so he was very important in my process of discernment for not only theology, but sort of opening up this world to me of, you know, even as a woman, like I have a place and a space in the church to use my intellect.
Yeah.
And I realized as the years went by and as he was my teacher and I would hear about his wife and his children, I was like, you know, there's no way Dr. Baglow is this way without the woman that's behind him.
Ooh. So,
I knew then that she was pretty incredible, but also just meeting her. You've always been such a warm, I think the last time we had a deep conversation was at a Mardi Gras parade.
Yeah, last year.
It was pretty good.
Yes, Louisiana funny. Notes.
Yeah, but it's just so such you know. A joy. Like there's a light within you, Christine, that I feel like comes from your authenticity that I
Thank
think
you.
A lot of women, you know, we hear different things about holiness and motherhood and being wives. And I feel like whenever I've talked to you, it's been a place where I can just be real.
Let's get real.
Yeah.
I know.
So, you know, that's why I was so excited when we found out that you were going to be on our show.
Yeah. Well, Christine, why don't you take us back? Why don't you take us back to,
take us.
You know, you could give us the, you know, we don't have two,
it depends on how far
2 hours,
back you
but
go. Do you want to go back to the wayward teenager?
Yeah. Yeah. You could take us there.
You know, I think that's probably sort of the root of all of this. You know, I was very, very lost as a kid and then later as a teenager, really not knowing, not in the deepest sense, in the most important sense, where my identity came from.
Mm.
And so I got very lost and, you know, acted out, I guess, my behavior and some of the things that I did. Were like really bad and just living a life of sin, living a life far away from God and almost not as though I wasn't deliberately choosing, like, I don't want to be close to God, but just allowing myself to be swept away in the current, you know? And consequently, as I began working with teenagers later on, I would always say, you know, you need to know what you think and believe before the moment comes whatever that moment of truth is where you have to make the hard decision. You need to be formed. You have to be well formed before that moment comes. And so my upbringing, unfortunately, really lacked that. I came up in the 70s and 80s when, you know, unfortunately, a lot of Catholic schools, including the one where I went to, you know, were just kind of tepid in the faith. The bar wasn't set real high, and there was a lot of sort of wishy-washy catechesis going on. And so I didn't have really firm roots. But eventually, through really the grace of Medjugorje, through the grace of encountering Our Lady, through that experience, through going on pilgrimage, and just the awareness that she loved me and was investing her heart in mine and wanted me to be close to her son, did I really begin to have a transformation. But I also, when I share with young women, and this is something that, you know, I've always been very open and very candid about my past and different things that have gone on. And I try to have that openness because I think it's a use of what God has given me. It's a good use of it to share and to be willing to say, okay, this is how I've messed up and this is how the Lord has blessed me. And these are the things that are real, because life in Christ, life in the church, life on this mortal plane is gritty and messy. And when we pretend it's otherwise, I think we set ourselves up and others for disappointment and failure. And it's also just not real. At least it hasn't been my experience. So, through Our Lady, I began to journey closer to the Lord. But because I had really allowed myself to become so lost, I've been so lost that, you know, it was a difficult journey really back into the heart of the church in the sense of learning new habits, developing better friendships and making better choices. And I had never in my life, you know, encountered even the discussion about living a life of virtue or having holy habits, good habits versus bad habits, and I had lots of bad habits. And so it was really through friends that I made at a time in my life when I was about 19 years old. I actually lived in Medjugorje for 4 months and met young people from all over the world.
You lived there?
I didn't realize you'd lived there.
Wow.
Yeah, I did. For 4 months.
How old were you?
I stayed in the village. 19? And 19. I'd gotten to be friends. I'd been on pilgrimage. At that point, I think I'd been twice before. And we became friends with one of the families. And excuse me, I've got the crud.
No, it's okay.
I've been smoking.
This is about being real. You can have the crud on our show. It's quite all right. We welcome the crud.
Anyway, I lived with this young mother and her children and her husband, and helped in the house, helped take care of pilgrims, and helped in the church, and kind of earned my keep. And it was really through the friends that I met there, young people from all over the world. I was particularly impacted by a group of young people who lived there from Ireland. And a lot of the guys had been involved in the IRA.
Wow.
And so, you know, they'd done some really bad stuff. And these were young people who were really seeking a relationship with Christ and allowing themselves to be formed in the heart of Mary.
Yeah.
And I just, I mean, I stay in touch with a lot of them today,
that's beautiful.
You know, to this day. And we're talking about a long time ago, I mean, 20 plus years and getting much closer to 30 at this point. And, you know, one of them is a Hungarian archduchess. I mean, living like a little church mouse and, you know, taking care of the church. I mean, just such a great example from these people. And I learned what it was to have friends who were concerned first for the well-being of my soul. And but at the same time, having a blast.
Catholics are cool and fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was really key. And so after that 4 months, I came back home and you know, sort of tried to re-enter life in the States. I really felt like I needed to come home. There were people who stayed and you know, or went off and continued to travel around Europe a lot. Or
I think that's beautiful,
though. You
know, to go
stay in other countries. But like I felt like I needed to come home.
Yeah.
And bring this light that has been given to me back to the Archdiocese of New Orleans.
Amen.
And, you know, through, you know, different journeys, I became very close to Father Harold Cohen, who became a dear spiritual father to me and picked me up a lot when I would continue to fall and struggle, and loved me with the heart of God and saw the good in me, I think probably sometimes too much. I always said he was never hard enough on me, but to be loved that tenderly, you know, was just a dear gift.
And what I hear so beautifully in your story is, like, you share that Our Lady, you knew she was investing in you.
Yeah.
In this time. And then you come home and this man who I had never met him. I've just heard of him through the years in the Charismatic Renewal, but was so full of the Holy Spirit, which is the spouse of Our Lady, truly, like that he just saw you and was a father. Like, that's incredible.
Amazing. I mean, to me, he's a saint. And that was such a gift to have that. You know, I can remember going to him for confession, you know, like probably my early 20s, and oh, you're going to be so mad at me. After going to confession,
expect the worst.
Looking at me with this beautiful smile and saying, do I look like I love you any less? That made such an impact on me, you know, the sacrament of reconciliation, and just always feeling like, you know, Our Lady was just with me. And through, you know, through that time, and eventually through Father Cohen, I was hired at the Daughters of St. Paul with the Pauline Book and Media Center.
Yeah.
Really?
She worked for us, for the nuns.
I never knew that.
Bada-bing. Hello.
It's like there's a God and this is
connected. Yes.
I know. There are no consequences. No coincidences. And so it was really by working there, and the young people that would come in, young adults would come in, searching, I thought, we've got to do something. And in Medjugorje, it was always emphasized that you needed to have prayer groups. You needed to have, you know, that spiritual support. And, you know, Yvonne at the time was a young adult. Neither of us are anymore. But at the time we were, and he had a young adult group, and this is so important. And so I just decided to, you know, I'm going to start a young adult group. And,
well, Christine, you know, kind of like we're going to listen to you on the other side of the break. We're about to take a break, but just this whole question about how to build each other up is, I think, a really big point. Mm-hmm. So we're excited to hear more from you, and we will see everyone on the other side.
This is a Papal Minute.
Pope Sylvester II. Guébert of Aurillac was born around 945. He came of humble origins, but was sent to a nearby monastery where his intelligence soon won him opportunities to study and travel. He became well known for his scientific, musical, and mathematical abilities. Over his lifetime, his reputation as a scholar grew. He possessed a large library of classical manuscripts, which he brought with him to Rome. He became Pope in April of the year 999. During his brief papacy, he was a staunch defender of papal prerogatives, and he attempted to purify the papacy of the corruption of the 10th century. He condemned the sale of church offices and required the practice of clerical celibacy. His reign was short, only 4 years. I'm Claire Coulon, and this has been a Papal Minute.
Welcome back to Daughter Arise, Girl Talk with Sister and Sarah. I am Sarah Denny, and we are blessed to have with us today Christine Baglow. She has been sharing at the other half just her story, especially the gift and presence of Our Lady in her life. And she shared with us how she had spent some time living in Medjugorje. She came home. She was, you know, a part of the life of Father Cohen. He was a real father to her. And she also, though, working with the Daughters of St. Paul, interacted with a bunch of young adults and really felt confirmed in the need for them to pray together, to gather together as young people and to ask the Lord for that guidance that they were seeking. So Christine, please, you know, continue where you were when we started the break. Just what that was for you at that point in your life, why that was so important, and how that really propelled you forward into other areas.
Sure. Well, so, you know, friendship is just so key, you know, that sort of holy friendship. And so I started what we call the Corpus Christi Cenacle at my house where I lived with my mom. It was just she and I at the time. My father and mother were divorced. My brother was no longer home. So, you know, it was like Girlville, and we had this, you know, house where we could welcome people. And so once a week, every Tuesday, dozens of young adults in the archdiocese would come, and we would pray the rosary. We would have sharing about the life of a saint, and we would pray for one another and the community that we lived in. And the name was really because, even though we were not in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, we wanted to just emphasize that that's where we got our life from, you know, from the Mass and from the Eucharist. And so, that's who we were. And we had teachers and we had business people and we had, at the time, medical students who are now doctors, nurses, different people. One wonderful story, if I can share it, is that there was a woman who was living around the corner from my mom. Didn't know her, never met her before, but she lived right behind my mom. And we would sometimes have the prayer meeting outside, praise and worship with Mark Griswold and great music. And we would have outdoor mass, occasionally in the backyard. And this young woman was having a very difficult life at the time. And through hearing us, without us even knowing it, she was really having this transformation that gave her the courage to make some changes in her life that she needed to. And now she's living fully a life in the church. And I've actually bumped into her a couple of weeks ago at a Catholic shrine. And she says, you remember back then, how you just never know what kind of impact you're having. And so as a group, we would go out and we would do service projects, probably not as much as we ought to have done, but we did that sort of thing. And we went out and had fun and we went to each other's weddings and we were a community. And really through that and through maintaining those great friendships, my husband and I ended up getting together because we were friends for a really long time before we got married. So, it was just very life giving for us. And what is tremendously satisfying for me is to look at, say, Sarah and her friend group, Austin Ashcraft and, Kristen Dupree and all these wonderful young adults who have taken it up a notch, who are smarter than we were and better catechized and living the faith even more fully than we thought we were and doing such a great job. And then seeing the impact that they have on my kids, particularly my teenagers already, and watching the friendships they have where they're holding one another accountable and they're praying together. They're just entering so deeply into the faith. And so it's this great trickle down effect, we began experiencing something for us that was really new. And then watch as each generation after us is really living it. It's really imbued in them from an early age. And it's just exciting.
I think it's so important and beautiful to hear whenever, that sense of accompaniment, like our friends and our relationships. So often, we need somebody sort of calling us forth, calling us out, calling us to be better, calling that virtue out of us, that strength of spirit that we really all have the potential in us. But sometimes it's like dormant or sleeping or almost dead, on the side of the road. But, somebody will see it and will draw it out of us or draw it forth. And I think that especially nowadays in a time where, we like movies to start and be done in 2 hours and that's the whole story. Right. But the human life, the human spirit, the human journey is a journey. I mean, we're not there yet.
And I think what's so beautiful is you're sharing, like you just shared about your vocation to marriage, but how everything started with friendship.
Yeah.
And with the Lord first pursuing your heart and then you were open to then be poured out, and receive in friendship. And I think that's just that's such a good reminder.
And you made room in your life for other people. I think just that image of you guys, opening your house and I'm sure you and your mom were like, if you would have sat and thought about it, we can't house people every week, but you did.
You just do it. I mean, that's the life of faith. Like, God asks you to do something, you do it.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, that you're really listening to that prompting of the Holy Spirit. And I love what you're saying about people who call you forward, because for me, obviously, I've talked about Father Cohen, but Pope John Paul II was the first person, sort of in such a big way to say to me, and I felt like he was really talking to my heart, like, you can do this. You can live this life of faith. I believe in you.
Yeah.
And if you look at all of his talks from the different worldview days, That's what he's saying over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. I believe in you. You can do this. Mm-hmm. You know, tap into the life of grace. Do not be afraid.
Amen.
Yes. And that's just so exciting. And when we do that for one another, when we call one another on, but also encourage and affirm and say, you know, you're smarter, you're braver, you're kinder than you give yourself credit for. And when we see that good in each other, it means so much. And so now as a little bit of an older adult, I've got this fantastic tribe of female friends who do that for me, mm-hmm. and that we do that for one another. And it's a real sisterhood. It just means so very, very much. And I feel so sorry for people who have just secular friendships. Well, you know, that don't have that.
And
you
Christine,
know, that relationships that are open to cattiness and unkindness.
Right. And so
when
that's kind of a question
good,
I powerful. Have for you too, is like for you living today, you know, you've been given these gifts, especially mm-hmm. in terms of friendship, and you're standing on a foundation that's solid with the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. just in your formation. So mm-hmm. you're living a season where it's not like you can just go hang out with your friends all the time or even maybe have these meetings as you would have before growing up.
Right.
So now, today, like what kind of advice could you offer to women who are in this season of being married and being mothers and like trying to have those some kind of consistency? And like you said, that tribe, like what mm-hmm. would you say to these women trying to live that out?
Yeah, well, there's so many different ways that it can be approached. But the first advice I would give to anyone else is the same advice I give to my daughter and have given to her consistently, which is to be open. Don't close yourself off. Mm-hmm. Don't wait for someone to come and tell you hello. Mm-hmm. You know, you mm-hmm. need to be the one that reaches out and says, "Hi, my name's Christine. What's your name? Mm-hmm. Where are you from? You know, how many kids do you have? What do? Are you married? Are you know, what are you passionate about?" Being willing to make yourself vulnerable, mm-hmm. in a sense. You have to be willing to be hurt mm-hmm. in order to have a relationship with people. I mean, it's just mm-hmm. a fact. You mm-hmm. you cannot close yourself off.
Yeah.
And so being kind and reaching out and sometimes for some people that's harder than others, mm-hmm. you know, for mm-hmm. someone who's introverted to do that. That's a big thing. And so, like, my friends and I, we have a page, like a Facebook group that we touch base with each other every day. There's 12 of us, and we just plug in every day. How's everybody doing? What's going on? How can we pray for you? Mm-hmm. You know, and sometimes we don't have to ask. Sometimes it's just out there.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
right. And that vulnerability, that accessibility shouldn't be for, I think, you know, the world at large. You know, I mean, sometimes we have these groups that pop up on Facebook that, you know, maybe, you know, 200 or 300 women that you've never met before, but you're all Catholic. Mm-hmm. I mean, that might not be the best place.
Right.
To be
right, of
that
course.
Open.
Yeah.
That might mm-hmm. not be the best place. I mean, it's tricky nowadays in a way that it maybe wasn't for myself and girls that are women that are my age. We sort of instinctively know, well, you know, there's a place for that.
Yeah.
And so it's finding the right balance with that and looking within your parishes. I mean, there are many wonderful people who are walking in and out of churches every day and adoration chapels every day who are probably looking for that same connection.
Mm-hmm.
And being, you know, being willing to be the first person to step out. You know, we have to be willing to do our part and create community.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's amazing just walking out of your, getting out of your comfort zone and, mm-hmm. and the mm-hmm. miracles that can happen. And like, you almost like grow a new leg, you know,
right.
in the sense that there's part of you that kind of gets brought forth that you maybe didn't even know you mm-hmm. were capable of, but
right.
somehow allowing yourself to come out of your maybe ordered world and stepping into what looks like chaos can actually make you approach and bring a new order to
yes.
something that is different and is not what you're normally living. We mm-hmm. know, you know, we know you, and we know that you also involve yourselves in bigger things.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe now would be a good time for you to just mention like some of the work that you do. I know that you take a big role in a big festival for youth. So why don't you just kind of just a little minute,
about that. I'm so blessed to be the director of the Abbey Youth Festival at St. Joseph Abbey. And, you know, it's an event that happens every March. As it turns out, my husband was actually the person who began it in 2001. Mm-hmm. And so this year, you know, it's going to be on St. Patrick's Day, which I'm stoked about because, of course, I'm a Kelly.
Yeah.
And, you know, and next year in 2019, it'll also be in March on the 23rd. So, you know, it's something that happens every year in thousands of young people come and they have an encounter with Christ. You know, it's like this great opportunity to build something where young people can come and you get to say, hey, do you want to meet my friend Jesus? Here he is.
Yeah.
And they meet him in one another. They meet him in the sacraments. They meet him in great catechesis and in adoration by candlelight, which is fantastic.
Incredible. And amazing. One of my first experiences, I really think, of the Lord in my own life was Abbey Fest 2005. I was a sophomore in high school. I remember it vividly. Yeah,
that adoration really touched me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
The ripple effect keeps happening.
The Holy Spirit
keeps happening. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, good.
Well, we are so thankful that you've been with us, Christine. And we love to kind of end our shows just inviting everyone to prayer for... You know, the graces that have been really planted through our words, like we laugh all the time because we just get to participate in this, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so we thank you for coming with us to just share your story, especially real parts of it that I really believe gives hope to everyone, not just women, but especially mothers, you know, like it doesn't matter our past in terms of our story, where we've come from, because the Lord will always endlessly pursue us and desires to bring us closer to himself. And he will move whether like through whomever and whenever, but especially since you have this beautiful relationship with Our Lady. I know you had mentioned sort of this love, I think, for the Memorare. So if you wanted to share anything about that, but also you can lead us in prayer for that, we would just love that.
Absolutely. Well, I love the Memorare because it reminds me of my mother, who of course is the first person who planted these seeds of faith in my life. And when I was little, I would ask her to pray the pretty prayer, which was the Memorare. So we can pray that if that's okay.
Yeah, sounds good.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you do I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy hear and answer me. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Christine, thank you so much for having
me. Thank you.
Just taking the time to
this
be with us.
This is a blast.
Share. Like, it was such a
gift. I'm delighted. I like to talk about Jesus.
Yeah. Amen. And, you know, I want to just say, for all the women that we do hear from, I am so amazed at the guys that I'm hearing from.
Yeah.
So many gentlemen are watching or listening to the show. And just today, someone came up to me and he said, I listened to your show in the carpool line, and it's helping me understand my daughters and my wife. I'm like, praise yay God. For us.
Yay.
So yeah, we just hope to keep growing and to keep learning and delving deeper into this mystery that we are as God's daughters. So thank you all so much for joining us. We pray that the Lord bless each one of you, and we'll see you all next time.
Daughter Arise is a production of Catholic Community Radio.